Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, come here. It's time for preparing for battle with Oz. No ear tickling here, just what we need to prepare for the battle.
¡Miren! ¡Miren! ¡Allá! ¡Viene una tormenta!
What did he just say?
He said there's a storm coming in.
I know.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Preparing for Battle. And guess who our Roz is talking to tonight? She's talking to our Daniel. Our Daniel is back. Isn't that exciting? So here's Roz with another exciting show. Go ahead, Roz.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another show, Preparing for Battle. I'm your host, Raj. Raj. So much for live radio, I'm telling you. I was just reading something. I'm sorry. I'm your host, Roz, with Dorothy. And as Dorothy said, our guest is author Daniel Holdings, excellent fellow. And I know you guys have heard about his books. Sorry, I just lost it there. Wow, gosh. It's
3 days in the belly,
of the beast.
As the
darkness falls, yes. And I know that one is no longer available in print, I believe. And I think he's coming out with the second As the Darkness Falls 2.
No, actually, Roz. Thank you, Roz. It's Daniel. Thank you so much, ladies, for having me on the show. No, it's okay. It's okay. My first book was 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast.
The Beast. Yes, I got it.
Right. That book is currently out of print, and I'm coming out with a second edition of it.
That book is
new, improved, full of interesting factoids in the back and some powerful information that I think the readers and listeners will get something out of. And my second book, As the Darkness Falls, just came out on Halloween day. I poked the devil in the eye, and that is still available. You can get that at my website or on Amazon. But thank you so much for that kind.
You know, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. You got a lot on your butt.
You know. Before, I wasn't working at the time, and I just, you know, a lot of my, you know, the listeners know I went through a divorce. So before that, I was at home. I was a stay-at-home mom. I took, you know, a couple years off from working. Number one, I couldn't find a job. In California, it's really, really hard because you got like 6,000 people, you know, going for one position, you know. So I was able to, you know, do a lot of stuff. I had a lot of time. Now that I'm working, it's like I'm all over the place. So, see, that is why the Lord said, when two or more are gathered, I'm in the midst, and that's why there is Dorothy. I need Dorothy.
Well, it is a pleasure to be with you, Roz. You and I have spoken, chit-chatted on a show once or twice with you in the background, but never as host of a show that I've been on with you. So I'm so grateful for your invitation to have me. And I know that we have some really, really important information for the listeners tonight, and hopefully some edifying information in the midst of all the crazy stuff that is going on in the world today. We hope, audience, that by the end of this evening, that you will be able to take away from it not only a reality check, but also some hope and some direction for the near future. But Roz, you said, audience, you know, hosts do this all the time. They call the guests before the actual show so we can kind of touch base and see where we're headed. And Roz says that she wanted to read something to you also. Roz, did you want to go on with that?
Yes. While I was working today and doing some things. Psalm 91 came to my mind, and it's interesting how you read through books of the Bible, and you, how many times you could read it, and it just doesn't click. Well, my friend Sue Bradley reintroduced Psalm 91 to me a couple of years ago, and ever since then, I've kept it real close to my heart, and it came into my heart today. So I thought I would like to read this before we actually start the program. Here we go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with the feathers, and under the wings He shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. A thousand, that's funny, nor the destruction that lay waste at noonday. There's a god, a demon, that... What's his name? I can't think of it. That they worship at noon. They worship Nathan Leal. He checked up on this, and I listened to him on his program. And that's funny that pokes out at me now that I read this.
It is, and you need to go on with the rest of that because it's very important.
Yeah, sorry.
Your point about Nathan Leal, I was on a show with him, and he actually talked about this, that out of Jeremiah 39:6,
yes,
I think it is, there are three demons mentioned. One of them is the demon of noonday.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yes.
So I'm sorry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Sorry. That caught me. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
When you said you were going to read that, when we spoke earlier, I hadn't thought about this too much, and I went back myself and I read through it, and the Lord reminded me of a vision that He gave me. I was a brand spanking new believer. That was 30 years ago. I was excited and spent a lot of time on my face before Him. I fasted a lot. I spoke to Him a lot, and I remember a vision that He gave me, and I've never shared this vision, but I felt impressed to do that after reading this evening. When the vision was simply this: I was walking on like some sand or dirt, and on my left side there was a huge wall of fire, and it wasn't that the fire was coming my way, it was stood straight up. And then on my right side there was a huge wall of water, and this water it didn't even put any sprays or any mist on me. It was standing straight up, and I looked around and I was by myself, and I kind of freaked out, and the Lord showed up, and he said, I'm with you, and we began to walk down that sandy path together. And audience, I'm a fictional writer, but the Lord has shown me many things about those things that are to come upon the earth very quickly. And you've heard other people much more knowledgeable than I am, or watchers that see these things all the time, say this kind of thing to you. But I'm telling you, audience, unless you are walking with Jesus in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that fire that's coming, in the middle of that water that's coming, we will be overwhelmed. And that's why I thought it was so wonderful, Roz, that you wanted to read Psalm 91, because it is the epitome of what the believer needs for these days that are coming upon us.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things like, you know, they're saying about the Pope, you know. You hear a lot of radio programs now, they're talking about the Pope stepping down. You know, it just seems like everybody's just talking mainly about the same thing. And I try not to follow that. I think that everybody, no matter what's going on, this is something that people need to hold on to. I have my 9-year-old, you know, memorizing this and trying to get him to understand, you know, what this means. And because to speak his word is the sword. It's not a gun. It's not anything. This is the sword. And in my dreams, you know, and when I open my mouth, you know, the Lord comes out of my mouth. You know, so in that case, but at any rate, it's just that, you know, you read everything. There's women getting, women are being raped everywhere. I mean, just, and that really tears me up when I see that. Yes, thank you, but not now. Okay, go get your shower. Thank you. Sorry,
you know, that's okay. You know, you mentioned Nathan Leo. As I said, I had the pleasure of being with him on a show not too recently, and he was talking about this very same thing. But here's the thing. Let's go back a little further. You know, when people look back to December 21st, they automatically think it was a non-event, another Y2K. Nothing happened. But I think something spiritually happened, or even demonically happened, because what you have to remember what those 13 Mayan elders were trying to do by carrying those 13 crystal skulls across the United States is to open up portals. Now, where you should ask yourself, these are demonically influenced Mayan elders. What portals are they trying to open up? they are portals to I think they're portals to the abyss. But then you have Nathan Leo talking about, and I'm going to try to connect all the dots here, audience. You have Nathan Leo talking about how to the very day, if you use the formula out of Jeremiah 39:6.
Right, yeah, I heard that, yeah.
To the very day, it worked out to from September 11th to the inauguration day, the private inauguration, which was the day before the public inauguration of President Obama's second term.
Yeah.
Now, and he made a case for the abyss opening at that time. But we didn't see that, right? We didn't see anything. But what we are seeing, Roz, getting back to your comment about women being raped, it's not just that.
Oh no, I know. The reason why I think that I should have opened up with that is because, see, the Lord tells us to even though all this is going on, you already know this is supposed to happen. It's okay. I'm here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. And that's why I read Psalm 91, because even though, you know, we're talking about these things and these things are happening, oh, I know that that's not the only one, but see, that really ticks me off because nobody, absolutely nobody, it just seems like the churches aren't talking about it. You know, if there was a crowd like Joel Osteen has, and hey, man, I'd be all over abortion. You know, people want to know, this is all it's all SRA. It's all satanic bloodshed. That's what it is. 9/11, you name it, and that was the first. I mean, if you guys really, really, really look at it, you know, the whole sycamore tree, you know, they put down there, and Sue Bradley did a whole thing about this. I mean, you see everything just started there. And if you look in the Bible and you see how Israel fell, you see that we're following in the same pattern. Nobody wants to repent, and that's the whole thing. Nobody wants to get on their knees because everybody's so self-consumed. They're self-consumed in television. They're self-consumed in games. They're self-consumed and worried about their you know, what degree they're going to get next, their 401k, and that's not the point. Getting on your knees is where you fight. Getting on your knees is where you know. You know, that's what you got to do. And it's like this country does not want to turn around. It doesn't want to look at the fact, well, no, it's not going to. Why? Because it's too busy worshiping other gods. Everybody's accepting homosexuality. Everybody is accepting abortion. Everybody's accepting, gay rights. Everybody's doing all this stuff. And they're not. God is a myth to everybody. What? Because he's not standing in front of them? I mean, you know?
That was kind of my point that you know point for me. When we see when you see sin being accepted or darkness being accepted as the ethos or the ethics of the community or the society, then you know, now audience, this is, you got to hear me, because this is where I got the name of my second book. You know that darkness is falling. Now, hold on. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going, what are you talking about, Danny? Okay, he's a writer, he's trying to push his books. No, audience, you hear me. Darkness is falling. Now, how can you say that, Dan? That is just so crazy. Okay, you don't think darkness is falling? You just heard the examples that Roz just gave you with the various crazy things that are going on. But when you also think about what we as a nation have stood for from the Democratic Convention until now, and I'm not bashing on Democrats, it's a fact. The Democratic Convention. Now remember, the Democrats run the government right now, so therefore they are the head of our country, whether we like it or not. Republican, Democrat, Independent, it doesn't matter. They are running the country. They are our leadership. If you recall, at the Democratic National Convention, they took God and Israel and supporting Israel out of their platform. And because they thought it was a bad political move or bad advertising, at the convention, they were going to put it back in. Well, the mayor of Los Angeles, who was the chair at the time, took a vote, and when he went to take the vote, he took it three times, and three times the audience booed him, saying, leave it out, leave God out of it. Well, in the end, because, again, it was not a politically smart move, they put God back into their platform. But God heard those boos, and he heard the heart of the people. And something happened, people. Something happened, audience, in the spiritual realm. Because what we did at that point as a nation is we said we don't want God. Now, we as individuals may want God, but the nation that once had, God in our Pledge of Allegiance said, we don't want God.
They want the golden calf. And let me tell you something, excuse me. I took my son to the National Civil War Museum last week, and as soon as I walked upstairs and I started going through all those halls, it felt so empty because all those people, whether they were fighting for slavery or not, they were still fighting for freedom. And nobody today is doing that at all. And those people who shed all that blood, they did it for nothing. That's what it felt so empty. I felt like I'm not even worthy to walk through these hallways. These people had names, they had faces, and they died so that to fight for the freedom and to have that in this country. Now, I'm not a patriotic person. I'm an ambassador here. My place is in with up there with the Lord. Okay, I get that, but I felt empty. All these people, all of them, all the way down to the slaves in Moses' time, they fought for freedom. They fought to get away from that. It's the same thing. Nothing new under the sun. They fought to get away from all that. What is everybody doing today? What is everybody doing? No, the party in the White House, they've already become the one world order in there. As far as I'm concerned, they're all for one. There is no Republican, there's no Democrat anymore. It's all one party, and they all have the same agenda, and that is to Georgia Guidestones.
You know,
get rid of us.
when we look at those things that are coming upon the earth, we need to understand that our nation will be judged, right? But that God, as an individual, right? That God loves us as individuals,
right?
And us as the church can walk through the things that are about to happen. You know, you mentioned the Harbinger, and I just found out a very, very interesting thing that I wanted to share with you tonight about that. Rabbi Kahn, who wrote the Harbinger, didn't find this out until after the book was published. And in fact, just recently he realized this. What he did is he went through to all the Bibles that they have out, that 365-day-a-year Bibles, you read through the Bible in 365 days. What he found was it didn't matter which Bible he looked at, the part about the cedars falling and the sycamore tree being rebuilt and all that, that always fell on, in those Bibles, September 11th. Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
All of them. That's just crazy. So what is it that God is trying to tell us? God's trying to tell us that something has changed, something is happening. So, audience, what does that mean? I mean, we can sit here, we can rant, complain, we can do, but this exercise has to lead us to somewhere. It has to lead us to something positive. Otherwise, we're just wasting time. So here's the point. It's time to get real. Because reality, those people in the White House that you just mentioned, Raj, they're not dealing in reality. They're just not.
No.
I don't know any politician.
Anybody who worships, whoever worships the golden calf isn't in reality. Of course not.
So the point is that when we look at what is happening today, audience, we need to start asking ourselves, how do I deal with this situation? How do I deal with my life in this situation? Because very quickly, our lives are about to change. They'll change suddenly. They'll change overnight. And I'm reminded where Jesus warned in Matthew 24 not even to go down and get your cloak, that it would happen so quickly. So, audience, when we look at the things befalling the earth and we look at the things befalling our nation, we need to understand look, there's this whole discussion about rapture. Is there a rapture? Is there a pre-tribulation rapture or is there a post-tribulation rapture? You know what? None of that matters. It doesn't matter.
Not right now.
It's a hollow discussion because the point is just what you said earlier, Roz, that it is up to us to be on our face before God. It is up to us to be in a repentant attitude. It's up to us to be in His Word. That's where we have to be, regardless of what your theology is. Your theology doesn't matter a hill of beans.
Yeah.
It's your walk that matters.
Yeah, that's what matters.
So the reality is that our nation is facing dire times. And why do I say that? Well, I say that for numerous reasons, right? I wasn't always a writer. I was a businessman for a long time. Little factoid that most people don't realize that it just went right over their heads over the weekend. China overtook the United States as the world's biggest trader, the world's biggest trade country. Now, well, so, Daniel, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything to me. It means everything to us, folks, because that means, see, that was never supposed to happen, according to the experts. China was never going to do that 5 years ago. Never going to happen. Yet it's happened. What that means is that the United States is economically in decline. I don't care what numbers they massage. I don't care what they say. The fact is that something has changed. Something is different. I just read last week that Moody's, is talking about downgrading U.S. debt again. Okay. Well, if that's the case, that means that everything we buy is going to go up in price because that's what happens. You pay more for money. This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Already, audience, you're looking you go to the grocery store, and I know that I've experienced this. If I've experienced this, I know you've experienced this. You know, you go to buy a pound of coffee, and it's $2 more than it was last week. It's crazy.
Yeah,
you go to the gas pump, the gas is higher now than it's ever been. So there are some very practical things that are happening to us right before our eyes. And I tell you those things, audience, because this is a time to wake up. It's not a time to bury our heads in the sand. It is not Kansas anymore. We're way past Kansas.
Mm-hmm. We're on borrowed time.
We're on borrowed time. And when you add to that the spiritual implications of what this country is about to go through, it is deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to sound melodramatic, but I'm being truthful. It's deadly. Because people, when this is all said and done, people are going to lose their lives. They're going to lose their property. They may lose their freedom, and there'll be harm. If you think, you know, raping of women is commonplace now, just wait. Because that's what we're looking at. That's what happens to a country that's judged. That's what happened when Israel was judged. That's what happened when Babylon was judged. That's what happened. So this is what we're looking at. Now, what can we do, Roz? Perhaps you can enlighten the listeners. What can we do as believers in order to try to survive this time coming upon the earth?
Prepare for the battle. No,
that's a great commercial.
Pray. I was talking to a pastor down in Alabama the other day. I'm going to have him on next week, and he's been a good friend of mine for a while. And I was talking to him, and in front of me, somebody had a license plate, and because I had asked him a question, and it said "Pray hard," and I told him, I said, "Well, I got my answer." No, seriously, get on your face, pray hard, and just pray. That he makes that way, and you hear, because it's not going to be good. There's foreign military here, and you know what happens when foreign military comes in? They don't give two squats about us. We don't look like them. They don't care. You know, it's going to get wicked. It's going to get nasty, and it's interesting because when Jonah went into Nineveh. You know, it took him a while. You know, he was. I'm not going to do this. He even tried to hide from God on a ship, or he tried to hide from him. He didn't want to go into Nineveh and tell him, you know, you guys need to repent. But you know what? Like I said, I know that there's coming a day soon, and it's now. I mean, in California, there's some things you can't do. I used to go out and give lunch and things to homeless folks in the parks. Lived up in Northern Cal, and before you know it, we couldn't do it no more. They were shushing away all the homeless people, and we would go there and with their regular sandwiches and everything, and they were gone. Why? Because the police told them they couldn't be there no more. I mean, you know, when I was, I lived in California for 13 years in Northern Cal. I know you're there. You're in Southern Cal.
Mm-hmm.
I watched how things closed, stores closed. It's like it's like Godshalk's closed and Mervyn's closed. It's just like all these stores. And I'm like, my gosh, you know, and Safeway's expensive, Vons, Knob Hill, all those stores are very expensive. So I tried to find other ways to shop. You know, I was buying 10 for 10, stuff like that, going to farmers markets, because vegetables in California are not cheap. I don't know about Southern Cal, but I know Northern Cal, and they're not.
It's nothing cheap in Southern California.
Okay. Well, at any rate, I'm just telling you about the signs of the times. I know that people say that, you know, well, God will make a way and stuff like that. Well, Jesus pointed to the ants as an example that they prepare. Well, we need to do the same.
That's right.
You know, we really do. I'm not saying, you know, go in, because you can't just think of yourself, and you got to think of who he might send to eat too. So, you know, you get a little here, a little there, and if somebody comes, you know, and needs food. But at any rate, there's nothing wrong with preparing, getting water, you know, heirloom seeds, because you don't want suicide seeds. They die after the first use. It's all about preparing your mind and preparing your body for what's getting ready to come. That's my own take on it.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, there are physical things we can do, and then there are mental things we can do, and then there are spiritual things we can do.
Yes.
The physical things, you know, we hear a lot about those. We hear about preparation. We hear about saving up food, saving up water, taking those measures, and I highly encourage those things.
I'm not trying to say become a doomsday prepper, because, I mean, let me just clarify that quickly. Sorry to interrupt you. I don't mean that, because that's, I mean, the Lord says not to worry, and you know what? The birds don't worry, and he feeds them. So,
right.
But there's nothing wrong with having a little bug-out bag going on that'll take you, you know, for at least 7 days.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to clarify that.
No, that's a good point, and I wanted to get to that at least in my third point. But my second point, that's the physical things you can do. You can physically prepare. The second point was you can mentally prepare audience. You can realize where we're at in time. You can realize that the economy is about to crash. Whether you like it or not, or I like it or not, one day we're going to be up, wake up, and there's going to be a bank holiday. You won't be able to get your money. And that day is coming very soon.
Yeah, it is.
Now, when that happens, right, because they'll reissue a new currency, whatever the case may be, when that happens, actually, I wrote about this fictitiously in my book, but when that does happen for real, you need to be prepared for that, because you're going to see your nation change overnight. If martial law does happen, there's a lot of people talking about, and certainly you're not advocating that on this radio, nor am I, but there are people talking about civil war. There are people talking about fighting the federal government. Now, I'm not suggesting you do that. You need to do what you think you need to do. But with that said, that reality is about to face all of us.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to prepare mentally for that. You need to harden your mind in order to be able to go through that. It's not about cushiness anymore. It's not about being comfortable. It's not about having, you know, the best car or the best house or whatever the case may be. We need to turn our focus from inside and turn our focus outside to those things that are coming upon the earth, so that we can deal with them mentally.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, and I think it's the most important part, and you alluded to it, we need to prepare spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter, Hill of Beans, how much you prepare as far as seeds and gold and weapons and all. If you do not hear God's voice to tell you where to go and what to do, because his promise in the Word, and that's beautiful in Psalms 91, which you just read, and it talks about that. His promise to us, if we are his, if we are listening to him, if we are obedient to him, that he will tell us what to do and where to go. And then it's up to us to act on it. So this is not a matter, gee, I'm going to go to church this Sunday and punch my ticket, or maybe I'll go to extra Wednesday night service because I need some extra credit.
That's not what it's about, no.
It's not that at all. It's about relationships, folks, and we need to plug in to who God is, to who he really is, not some religious mumbo-jumbo, but to who God really is. His word You know, the Word says that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to discern between bone and marrow and discern the hearts of men. Now, you need all that stuff coming into these times. So if you're not in His Word, how are you going to have that? This is the point. It's time to stop playing. It's time to stop being distracted. It's time to get ready for those things that are coming upon the earth, because I promise you, darkness is falling. We all see it. We all feel it.
Yeah.
So we need to be ready. We need to prepare for battle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay me for that. That's free.
Yeah, okay. No, and just it's but on the same token, I got to throw this in there. It is. I have to say, it is exciting because you know the Lord's coming back. You know, the Lord's coming back, and that's what's exciting.
That's right. I have a teenager, and I've heard her say, "Well, Dad, I don't know if I'll be able to get married or have kids." And you know, I tell her, as I'll tell your audience, live your life, right? Don't be so focused on the sky that you forget to live your life. We got to occupy where we're here. But you keep an eye on the sky and you keep an eye on your life at the same time. So if the Lord does tarry, then my daughter gets to get married, have kids. I get to be a grandfather, although I'm way too young. But, you know, we got to live our lives. At the same time, though, don't be so distracted by life that when you know, the clamp comes down, that we're caught unawares. Because that's not what God wants. God wants us to be aware of what's going on. Because those things that have been happening in the spiritual realm are beginning to pierce through our physical realm.
Mm-hmm.
This dimensional realm that we lived in. And I know that you wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I did.
So let me give you a rundown here about the way I see things, not that I'm an expert. But, one, you know, the book that I wrote, 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast, the one that I'm cleaning up and bringing out a second edition here by the end of the month, that book, this was the very first thing that the Lord showed me when I began to write that book, and I was so excited. I had to write it down. And, you know, I felt the Holy Spirit say, well, put it in the story, and He gave me some other interesting stuff to put in that book as well. Well, you know, Before your eyes glaze over, I promise this is going to be interesting for you, but I want to talk about physics with you. Specifically, I want to talk about M-theory with you. M-theory is a physics discipline, and it says that there are at least 11 dimensions, okay? 11 dimensions. Well, that's kind of weird, Daniel. Yeah, it is weird, but that's what they think. These are brilliant guys, is what they think. There's at least 11 dimensions. So, when you think about this, and this is what the Holy Spirit showed me, we live in a 3D world. When you go to those 3D movies, what does that mean? That means that 3D movies represent height, they represent depth, and they represent width, three dimensions, 3D. That's what it means. Now, Einstein theorized that time was the fourth dimension, and it's what's called a temporal dimension. All right, so we live as human beings in a 4D world, height, depth, width, and time. Okay, so that's four. Now, of particular interest to you, Raj, you were talking about hell. And I mentioned on another show that hell, there are four distinct levels of hell, and people don't realize this. There, of course, is hell, or Hades, right, which is the same thing. That's one dimension, and the Bible says that there are keys to there. How do I know this? Because when Jesus died on the cross, He went down into hell. The Word says that He stole the keys of hell and death, and then He was resurrected. So hell is the first level, the first dimension. The second dimension is the abyss. Now the abyss, let me back up. The second dimension is a place called Taurus or Titus. I can never get mm-hmm. this right. It's another level. I don't really know much about it. I do know it's a different level. So that's two dimensions. The third dimension is the abyss. Now, in Revelation, John talks about the abyss as the dragon being, or as these angels being thrown in the abyss, and it says that there are keys in there. But when the sixth trumpet sounds, there are four head generals, four head angels, they're going to be loosed out of, they're going to get the keys to the abyss. Now, this is really important, folks. You have to hear this. You're going to get the keys to the abyss, and they're going to bring 250 million demons with them. And these are like big crushing guys. These are just not wimpy demons. These are principalities. But the point that you need to take away from this now is that three. Now, the last level, the last dimension, if you will, is the lake of fire. The Bible says that at the end of time, after the thousand-year reign, that the devil and all of his angels will be thrown into the lake, they call him the dragon, will be thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity, and he can never get out of there. There's no keys out of there. Once he's there, he's there. The point is that there are four separate levels to hell, or four separate dimensions. Okay, so you take our 4D world, 3D plus time, that's mm-hmm. four. Take the four levels of hell, that's four. Four plus four is eight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul said, I once knew a man who was caught up in the third heaven.
Third heaven, yeah.
He was talking about himself, right, in a vision or something. But the point is that if there's a third heaven, there must be a first and a second, too. I'm just guessing. So if that's the case, 8 plus 3 is 11, and that's M theory. That's physics. So here's the point, audience, that they are today, I believe, and I didn't believe this when I wrote the 3 days in the belly of beast. I've come to believe this since, using physics to open up the abyss. Now you say, damn, that is crazy. You're nuts. You just want to sell some books. Well, okay. I'd like to sell some books. Go to the site and buy them. You'll like them. But that's beside the point. When you talk about what's going on at the Large Hadron Collider, because that's a location within my first book, the Large Hadron Collider. The Large Hadron Collider is the world's biggest machine. It sets 600 feet underground under solid dirt. They bury this thing. It's a 17-mile tunnel, and it's the most powerful particle accelerator around. So they're smashing atoms down there, and you know they're looking for all kinds of things. In my book, one of the things that I wrote about in my book was when the hero discovered the God particle, the Higgs boson. Now I didn't know what that was before I studied this, but you know it is this particle that scientists say that if they found it, they would know why we have mass, why everything has mass, why things just don't fall apart. Right? It's a big thing to them. The point is that after I published that book, I'd already written about it and published it, they found the God particle last year. So they found it. but it's okay. So that was interesting. The other thing that happened with that book that really made me pay attention to what's going on, and it's changed the way I think of physics, and it changes the way that I think of the things that are going on in the world today. The other thing that happened is Larry Taylor. You've mentioned Larry's a friend of the show, and I've been on with him before. I didn't know Larry at this time. But what Larry did is he got a hold of my book, and he read it, and he was so taken back by it. What he did is he bugged a guy by the name of Barry Rothman. Now, Barry, and he has a wonderful site, by the way. If your listeners want to go there, it's www.arkcode.com. What Barry does, Barry is probably one of the experts in the United States when it comes to the Torah code. For your listeners that don't understand what the Torah code is, the Torah, as you know, is 3,300 years old. It's the first five books of the Bible. When it was written in block letters. It was just with no punctuation. and they wrote the scribes wrote the Old Testament all in blocks. So what the Torah code does with the advent of the computer, they are able to find words and events in the Torah code from modern times. And what Barry Rothman does, he makes he does excellent work, and you'll see on there he will pull something out of the news and he'll find it in the Torah code. It's amazing. But enough about that. One of the things that Larry did is he had Barry Rothman run 3 days in the belly of the beast, my name, Daniel Holdings, mm-hmm. and some of the storylines in that book in the Torah code. And they found 3 days in the belly of the beast, my name, and some of the storylines in the Torah code from 3,300 years ago. I was floored. Because I'm just a fiction writer, right? But what it did, Roz, is it challenged me. Because if that's the case, I was trying to figure out what God was trying to say. And so, you know, I got ready to do my second book. I was getting ready to do my book. I was writing it. It was coming together. But I needed some glue, and I needed a way for the character. Because you got to understand something, Ross. I just woke up about 4 years ago. I'd been a believer for, at that time, 26 years or something. Went to Bible college, served, you know, in church and all that stuff, right? But the things that I've come to believe now, I was mainstream back then, let's just say. Well, what happened was when I found all this stuff out, I kind of set it aside because it boggles the mind. I'm just a guy. I always say I'm Balaam's donkey, just here, ready to open my mouth when the time's right. But what I did is I needed some glue to join the first story to the second story. I needed the hero to make that jump. I needed Dr. Bryce Cooper to make that jump as I made the jump in reality. So I thought somebody needs to teach the guy. And the Lord gave me the idea of using Steve Quayle to teach him. I'm like, I don't know Steve Quayle, guy. So suffice it to say, a couple emails. He was very gracious. He called me back. We started talking. I said, Steve, I wrote this book. I don't really know why, but it's in the Torah code, and, you know, it's about the Large Hadron Collider, and it's about harp. And he said, hold on a second. He said, you said it's about the Large Hadron Collider and harp? I said, yeah. He said, Daniel? He said, let me tell you about the Large Hadron Collider. And a lot of this research he got from Sue Bradley, because you know Sue's done that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this research he got from Sue Bradley, and what what he said was, Dan, if you think about the Large Hadron Collider as like a master lock, and if you are able to open a master lock, you can open all the associated locks around it. Now, I said, okay, that's interesting. Now, he said, do you know what chemtrails are? And I said, well, yeah, I looked into them. I haven't really studied them, but I looked into them. He said, well, these chemtrails, and he told me somewhat I already knew, they have aluminum in them, mm-hmm. they have barium in them, they have some pathogens which are diseases, so why are those things in them? And I've even, you know, seen research that says that there are blood, traces of human blood in them.
Right, right.
Why is that in there? So anyway, he said what they're doing with those chemtrails is that they were preparing the atmosphere for the opening of those portals.
And just hold on a second. And when I heard you say that before on your last show, the first thing that came to my mind was the satanic blood rituals that they have. Blood is in everything. They need
That's
it.
Right.
They need it to like they're doing. They're opening portals. They need it to bring stuff in. I mean, it's. Sorry, that clip. I was at work when I heard that, and I almost said it out loud.
Well, you know, I thought the same thing, Ross. I thought the very same thing when I said, "Wait a minute." Well, actually, He didn't tell me about the blood. I read it someplace else. But I said, well, hold on a second. They use blood in satanic rituals.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, you know, there are many people. Now, okay, I'm just a crazy religious guy, right?
Mingling
There
seed.
Are many people that say the 50 million babies that we have murdered
mm-hmm.
in abortion is a blood ritual. It's sacrifice for this country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I mentioned this, you probably heard me mention this on the other show I was on, but it's not just 50 million babies that our country is sacrificed.
Oh, no.
It is over a, we are responsible for over a billion babies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dan, that's not right. It absolutely is right. Because our country gives federal funding, government funding to countries all over the world. Before we will give them that money, we make them change their laws to allow abortions. So somebody did some research. It wasn't me. It came up, and they figured that we were responsible for a billion deaths of innocents. The blood of those innocents cry out to God. And you wonder, audience, why we're going to be judged. If for nothing else, that alone is a stench to God's nostrils.
Oh, no doubt.
But I digress. I digress. The point is that the thing that Steve Quayle helped me to see is that there was a connection between the LHC and those chemtrails. But then he said, and you know what HAARP is because HAARP is in your book. And I said, I do know what HAARP is. And he said what they're doing is they're using HAARP to bounce off those chemtrails to change the atmosphere so that it can open the abyss. To open the portal, and I was floored. I said, hold on a sec, Steve. See, I just gave it the cat's out of the bag. Now, I said, Steve, are you telling me that that portal they're trying to open is the abyss? He said, that's what I'm absolutely trying to tell you.
Not disgusting.
I was stunned. Because, folks, I wrote about this in a fictional book. I didn't have a clue. I'm just a donkey. I don't know. I'm just writing a story. And that's what I wrote about in 3 days of the Belly of the Beast. But since then, Roz, the crazy stuff that I have found out since then blows my mind because it doesn't stop there. One of the things that I found out, and I mentioned this on this last show that I was on, was there's a physicist, not a Daniel fictional writer guy, a physicist in Brazil. His name is Francis de Aquino.
Mm-hmm.
He says that there are enough HAARPs, and I've read this, to wrap the whole Earth now. They just finished their last one last year, are finishing it in Antarctica, and he says that HAARP has the ability to manipulate time. Now that's not me; that's a physicist. In addition to that, because they can wrap the Earth with that signal now, they can change the atmosphere. All right, now so let's come forward to where we are today, because what we are seeing. Are things changing so quickly we can't even keep up with them, audience?
Did you ever see the first Superman with Christopher Reeve?
I did.
Okay, do you remember when Lois Lane was down was she in California? There was an earthquake and she went down into a crack in the earth and he got so ticked off that he looped around. He went around the earth and made the earth go backwards.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember.
I'm sorry
that.
When you said that HAARP. It that came to my mind.
Well, I often think, Ross, that Hollywood telegraphs what's really going on. Sometimes the things that, and I don't know if that's because they're demonically influenced or if they got a direct line to what's going on, so they're giving us little tidbits. But, you know, one of the things about the New World Order and the Illuminati or demoniacs, they'll laugh at you because they already told you what they were going to do.
So
we told you guys you're going to let us kill you, whatever the case may be. Anyway, so that stuff is physics, and that's what Francis de Aquino came up with. Now, the other thing that I found fascinating was after I talked to Steve Quayle, I found an article that said that the Bill Gates Foundation, that's Microsoft, folks, one of the richest men in the world, is going to start geoengineering, which they've already started. Supposedly that's what the chemtrails are for. Supposedly that's what HAARP is for. They're geoengineering. They're trying to change the atmosphere to stop global warming, which is a farce, by the way. But that's a different story.
Why don't you just come out and say it's a lie?
What Bill Gates is doing in his organization is that they are spraying. Now get this, folks. This was the sealer for me. They are spraying sulfur in the air. Now, guys, I'm human. You're human. We don't breathe sulfur. It'll kill us.
Yeah.
Why are they spraying sulfur in here? It makes no sense unless Steve Quayle's right. They're getting ready to open up the abyss, and they're changing the atmosphere or this dimension to accommodate them.
So they can habitate.
So they can habitate. Now, fast forward to 2013, and as the darkness falls, because what I think has started to happen is, you know, Larry Taylor, I have the pleasure of getting to talk to him every once in a while, and he called me last week, and down in Oklahoma, Larry's, for your audience, the audience probably knows him better than me.
Yeah, they're familiar with him.
So he lives by a couple of portals, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't talk about it much, but he's around them, and he has a spiritual duty around them. He's like the sheriff in town, I guess you want to call it. He's a very powerful man, Larry Taylor, in the Lord, for those of you that don't know. But Larry, once in a while, will send me a crazy picture of something that came out of the portal. About a couple months ago, he sent a picture of me, and I had blown up. Because he'll take a camera outside, he'll take a picture,
mm-hmm.
and they'll be really small, so I had it blown up. This thing was, the first one he sent me looked like, you know, those, like the Star Wars ships that looked like a little triangle. That's what it looked like. I was like, wow, that's like a Star Wars thing. Right? And then he sent me a picture a few months later of this thing flying around. It was a snake in the sky, mm-hmm. a snake. I blew it up myself. I saw with my own two eyes. It was a snake.
Well, I'd like to see that one.
Not any UFO that I've ever seen. Well, he just sent me, this is the point, he just sent me another picture a couple weeks ago, and there were, and I haven't blown that picture up, but out of this abyss, these, like, five or six UFOs came out of this abyss, out of this portal, I should say. Five or six of them. Now, what's the point, Dan? Are you okay? You're a UFO nut? No, I've never been abducted. I've never seen a UFO, maybe once when I was a kid, I'm not sure. But I do believe that they exist and that they're real. As to who they are, that's a different discussion. Hopefully we can get to it because it's very important. But the point is that you're seeing more activity around mm-hmm. portals now than you have ever seen before. Mm-hmm. And, Roz, before we got on the radio, you were talking about how there have been sightings of giants. I don't know if it was Dorothy that says, but there are giants being seen in real life. Now, folks, mm-hmm. if you don't know about the Nephilim, and I think you're an educated audience, so you do know about the Nephilim, which are giants, the Raphaim, giants, mm-hmm. right? You're going to start seeing more and more crazy stuff because they are preparing this dimension for that very stuff, all at the same time when we have a crisis in the economy, when we have a crisis in political arenas because of the wars that are going on. Gee, that sounds familiar. God, I don't know. Did Jesus say something about wars and rumors of wars? So you have the world dealing with crisis, and at the same time, you have these otherworldly, these interdimensional beings showing up saying, they haven't said anything yet, but I think when they are disclosed, they're going to say, we're here to help. And at the same time, they're going to say, oh, by the way, you're now, folks, you got to hear me. You want to talk about the great deception? This is really important. They're going to say, when they finally get here, your perception of God is not true. There is a God, but we all belong to him, and, you know, you need to lighten up with your belief. And at that moment, the Christian, the believer, will be marginalized. They will go from mainstream to they're so powerful they must know better than us, so therefore we're gonna dump our religion and take theirs. Now you think I'm crazy, audience? I don't know if you've been keeping up on Tom Horn and Chris Putnam's adventures with Exo Vaticana, but the Vatican thinks that. They think that. And that's a whole different discussion. I encourage you listeners to go to Tom Horn's Raiders News Update and read some of what they're talking about. But this is real stuff. The Vatican is looking for aliens to come, and they're preparing. They're preparing people to accept them already. Now, add on top of that, the fact, yesterday, Roz, and it's like we're full circle here. Yesterday or the day before, the Pope announces that he's going to step down. Tom Horn also did an excellent expose last year in his book, Petrus Romanus, The Last Pope. The last pope was predicted. There's a guy, St. Malachi, he's dead now, obviously. But he predicted all of the popes by name before they came, by name. And he was right every time. And he said the last pope, he named this pope as well. He said the last pope came after this pope, and that last pope would see in the Antichrist. He would see the end of the world. So,
Sure,
go ahead.
Can I just say something quickly? I think it's tomorrow night at 9 o'clock till 12. I think that Tom Horn's going to be on Hagman and Hagman.
Steve Quayle, yeah.
Yeah, so they'll be discussing that. So that ought to make for an interesting show, actually.
It'll make for a really interesting show, because what we are faced with is all of these things. I said on the other show that I was on that the host said it's the perfect storm. I said no, It is the storm. No perfect about it. It is the storm. You know, perfect storm are three separate storms that come together to make the big one, right? This is a storm. This is the storm. This is what the Lord warned about. So all of these things are coming together at the same time. You have the economy that's about ready to crash. You have wars that are about ready to fall apart. You have the earth. I mean, we haven't even talked about earth changing, but you have the earth going crazy. Earthquakes all over the place, in diverse places, crazy stuff. You have the Pope handing the keys over to somebody else. You have the Vatican looking for aliens. You have more UFO sightings than ever before. This is crazy stuff. And you know, I'm almost tempted to say I wrote all about it and it's just fiction. But, Roz, it's all true. Every single bit of it is happening right now. I don't know what to say. It's just, you're right, these are exciting times to live in. But I still think that people don't really understand what all this means.
I do have to go. I have to take care of my boy. And I got to get some sleep. But I do want to say, though, just quickly before I do go, Sue Bradley had done something. A couple of years ago, when I first started talking to her, we were talking about something. Now, Pennsylvania, even Russ Dizdar will tell you this, it's everywhere you look, it's an occultic state. It's everywhere you look in this state, it's something. But at Three River Stadium, you know, on the Pittsburgh side, now, I think that they only say that there's two. It's interesting. Right down there in Pittsburgh, there's like Gateway Street, Gateway this, Gateway Building, Gateway Bridge, blah, blah, blah. And it all says Gateway. Well, see, underneath, there's a river that runs underneath that nobody talks about. And when that plane landed over there, was it Flight 93? It landed like about at the mouth of that, but nobody says that. Nobody talks about it because it's a portal. It's another, you know. Nobody talks about it. It's just weird how just in this one section of Pittsburgh, everything is Gateway, 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 Gateway Bridge, Gateway Building. You know, it's very interesting. Austin, that she put that together, it was really good. But you know, nobody talks about it. It's just an interesting piece that
you know, she wrote up and something to look into. I mean, it's just all this stuff's just popping up everywhere.
It really is, and you know, people are beginning to wake up, and they're beginning to see things that are more than just coincidence and more than just fiction, and it is a good thing because things are beginning to happen so quickly. People really need to get right, and they really need to make sure that they're hearing God, so they know what to do and where to go and what to say when the time comes. But, you know, listen, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you.
I appreciate it so much, and it's good to finally be able to speak with you.
Well, I apologize for all the stuttering in there. I'm just warming back up to getting back on my program again, and you know, usually I'm together, and I really apologize. I really wanted to set you up, and
Dorothy do that. I'm just a donkey. It doesn't matter. You know, all you could have said was, here's the donkey. And I would have been good with that.
Yes.
Roz, I did have a couple of things I wanted to share. If you want to go and take care of Connor, go ahead. But
thank you. I love you, Dorothy, with all my heart.
I love you, too.
And thank you so much. Yes, I will. And thank you so much for coming again on the show. And we'll be keeping in touch.
Okay, Roz.
All right.
Great.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Dorothy.
So a couple of things I wanted to share with the audience is that if I know sometimes in our flesh life we don't realize how much power there is in the name or the blood of the Lamb, and I wanted to point everyone to a YouTube video. Just do a search for Woman Rebukes Robber. And this woman stood there at gunpoint, she's a cashier, and rebuked a robber and bound him, and he went toddling off.
Hmm.
So there is power. Father has given us power to fight in the battle. So.
Well, you know, Dorothy, that's a very interesting point because, as I said to Roz, you know, if all we're doing is talking about all the terrible things that are coming upon the earth in our country, then we're doing a disservice, a disjustice to this audience. And what we need to understand is that the power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And I told you've probably heard me tell this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. When I was in the Air Force back in the early 80s, mid-80s, I lived in Mississippi. I was stationed there with my wife, and, you know, I'm from California. California, we don't have tornadoes, at least we didn't used to. But we never had tornadoes. Give me a good earthquake, I'm good with that. But on this particular day, I was renting a house off base, and there was a tornado warning, which I guess is a bad thing. That means tornadoes imminent, right? So I didn't know what to do. I've had training, disaster preparedness training, but, you know, my wife, she says, oh, call so-and-so. So we'd only been there about 6 or 7 months. We were going to church, and so I called some friends from church. And they said, oh, Daniel, don't worry about it. You know, there's never been a tornado down there. You'd be fine. I no sooner hung up the phone than all of a sudden there was this big boom in the house. We had two cats. They're just two black cats. They took off from the back room. They looked like two black streaks. My wife, who'd been standing next to the couch. She jumped straight up in the air. Now she's on the couch. It's the most comical thing you ever saw. So there's a knock at the door, right? There's a knock at the door. And I'm like, whoa, what is that? So I go to the door. It's my neighbor. And my neighbor says, are you guys okay? I said, yeah, why? And she said, because lightning just hit your house. And I was like, what? So I went outside. Excuse me. So what happened was we had these two really tall, really, really tall pine trees on the corner of our house. And what happened is that the lightning hit the inside of the pine tree, and that lightning bolt hit back and forth and ricocheted off the inside of that pine tree, stripping all the bark off of it, and then went bam into the corner of the house from there. And, you know, so I watered that down. It didn't catch fire or anything. But I call the landlord, and the next day he sends out a tree guy. And a tree guy was like the epitome of a Mississippi redneck. I hate to be so descriptive, but he really was. He's sitting there chewing tobacco. He had overall bibs on. He had big belly. And he says, okay, son, we're going to have to take these trees down. I said, why? What? They're beautiful. They give us shade. I like the way they look. He looked at me like I was crazy, Dorothy. He said, sir, you, now here's a physics lesson from a redneck tree guy, right? He said, sir, you don't understand. He said, that lightning, it changed the molecular structure of them trees. They're going to die. They're already dead. You just don't see it. I was like, oh, wow, really? He said, absolutely. I said, okay, you know, take them down, whatever. But then the Holy Spirit kind of tugged on my shirt, and he said to me, this is the point, audience. He said, that was just one flick of my pinky. That power was one little small portion of my pinky. And that is only a portion of what lives inside of you, son of me, what lives inside of you as a believer. Because the power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. And you know when you hear something from God sometimes and it shakes your inside, it shook me. And I've never forgot that lesson. Folks, the power that raised Christ from the dead, the power that created the universe, the power that raised Lazarus, the power that created the blood, the bread and the fishes from just five loaves and how many fishes, that power lives inside of us. Now, it doesn't mean that we're God. We're never going to be God, right? We're never going to have our own little planet and be God and rule our own little planet. That's not what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus, if you're walking with him, if you're on your face with him, if you're listening to him, that relationship opens up a conduit to him. That conduit, the Holy Spirit can go back and forth. And you will be able to do things in these times that are coming that you never thought possible. Because it's going to mean life or death. It's going to mean survival or losing everything. That power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And Dorothy, until we are able to tap into that power in these times that are coming, we will not know what to do, where to go, what to say. So, folks, the only way to get that Dorothy was talking about rebuking a robber and him running off, think chaos. Think multiple robbers because now society's breaking down, right? You need that power. And so, folks, here's the sermon, the mini sermon. I didn't mean to make this a mini sermon, but it's good that it came up. There are three classifications of people that are listening to this show. You may be one that doesn't know Jesus. You like the interesting stuff that they talk about, you know, on this show, and that's great. You're welcome. We love you. Good to have you, okay? But if you don't need Jesus, I'm telling you, you need Jesus for this time that's coming. And that's all I'm going to say about that. He'll make himself real to you. You sit down by yourself. You challenge him. You dare him to show himself to be real to you. And he will. He will show up if you mean it. Because along with that, then you're going to understand who you are and or who you're not in him, and you're going to need to deal with that. If you go to him with an open heart, he will show you. So that's the first category. The second category are the Sunday go-to-meeting Christian. Okay? I go to church, right? I go once a month or maybe once a year. I'm a good guy. You know, I give some money to the church. I try to help people. I read the Bible once in a while. So that's the other group, okay? The third group, right, which I like to think I'm in the middle of, but, there are times I'm like everybody else. The third group's on their face. They are repenting. That's a word that people don't like to hear. On a regular basis, because we're always messed up. It's only by God's grace and his son's blood that we're anything at all. But then we're listening, and we're worshiping. We're talking to him. And we're doing those things that he tells us to do when he says, don't do that, right? You know better. Don't do that. We try not to do those things. Doesn't mean we're always successful. Now, that person is no better than the second group or the first group. It's just a lifestyle change, choice. It's the way that people choose to live their lifestyle. I'm going to tell you something, audience. The only way to survive in the days coming is to be in that third group. Because you and I, we need to hear God's voice. We need to hear the Holy Spirit guide us. We need that power so that if there are guys that come to us like that woman with guns, that we will be able to stand up for that. We need to be able to know where to go in order to get food. We need to be able to know what to do to stay out of trouble. So here's the point. All this stuff that we talk about, and, you know, Dorothy, I've talked to you several times about my books. They're all for this reason. I mean, those books are fun. Hey, folks, get them. You'll like them, especially the new book that's coming out. Well, the new old book that's coming out. It's a great entertainment piece, but there are truths in there that you're not going to find just watching TV. You got to tap into the power that God has provided for us, and unless we get serious about that, given the times that we're in, we're only going to hurt ourselves. So, Dorothy, you said that you had a couple other things that you want to talk about.
Well, I wanted to talk about, actually there's more than two, now that I think of it. I wanted to talk about the chemtrails, too. I don't remember who, but someone told me, well, I just stand there, rebuke them, and they go away. And I go, that's interesting. And I tried it one time when I had the grandkids at the beach. They were trying to spray over the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And they went away. Rebuked them, and they went away. So that was when I learned my lesson on, well, wait a minute, you don't just got to sit there and take all this stuff. You can fight back. And on the apostasy, and we're all familiar with the, you know, the great falling away, the apostasy.
Uh-huh.
Richard Grund, on one of his shows recently, pointed out that man is awesome. The apostasy is not just stopping believing. It is a deliberate rejection of your previous faith. So there's going to be a big renouncement, which falls right into, you know, when those guys come and say, oh, we're here to help you.
Well, yeah, believing a lie and calling it the truth, that's absolutely true. We are going to see, and you know, Dorothy, years ago, when I got saved years ago, and I've shared with you before in your audience that, when I got saved, it wasn't what saved me, but I got a hold, before I believed, I got a hold of Hal Lindsey's book, and I thought, The Late Great Planet Earth, and I thought it was science fiction, and because I like science fiction, I picked it up, and, you know, I ended up reading it because I'd never heard anything like that. And so after I got saved, there were a lot of things that led to my coming to know the Lord. But after I got saved, I just consumed everything I possibly could on end time stuff. And, one of the things, well, several things happened. But one of the things, and I shared this before, that God got a hold of me and said, look, you need to get in the Word and, you know, stop being so fixated on this other stuff, and I'll bring you back to it when the time's right. And lo and behold, I wake up about 4 years ago, and I'm neck deep into this stuff now. But the point is that when they talked about the apostasy back then, I always wondered, how could the world reject wholesale those things that they knew to be true? I just didn't understand. And for years, I struggled.
It is stupid. Yeah, if you look at it in the natural, it's so illogical.
Well, especially when, because it's not just lukewarm believers, not just, you know, believers that are only, you know, Catholic or Anglican or Methodist or whatever for the time they go to church, but they don't live like that the rest of the week. But the impression that you have when you read that is that it is a wholesale of people walking away from the faith. And I always wondered, how could that be? But see, when they are confronted, when people are confronted with the lie, the deception that is about to come, it will be so convincing that even the very elect, the word says, would be deceived if he didn't cut the time short. So here's the point, that when those things, those beings show up, and I think they will soon, just watch out. That, you know, at first they're gonna say, okay, you know, it's all right, just leave them alone, leave those Christians alone, let them believe how they want to believe. But there'll be mounting pressure over the months and years following that to renounce your faith or change your faith and to believe something wholesale different. And you will see such a great deception come across the people. But, you know, the Lord is good, and he's gracious, and you've heard it not only from me just now, but you've heard other people say this as well. You know, L.A. Marzulli talks about this very same thing. I used to think he was crazy when I was, before I woke up, I used to think he was crazy. But, you know, they were talking about this very same thing. So here's the point, that we have been prepared, that we have been briefed on we've been briefed by the general about what's about to happen. So not me, general, the general Jesus, about what's about to happen. So we know the kind of things that we're looking at, and that's why it's so important, Dorothy, that we stay focused on Christ, that we stay, you know, in his word, that we stay on our face before him, that we stay repentant in before him, because we need to be able to hear his voice, and all that other junk, it dilutes his voice, it blocks it out so that we don't hear it as well. So it's really important, especially in the times that are coming, that we really, really solidify a relationship with him.
That and the fact that it is a relationship, and even in the natural, any time that a relationship goes on over a period of time, you develop more trust and faith in the person you're in the relationship with.
That's right.
So if you don't know the person, if you don't know Christ, how will you have the faith to trust him if you haven't seen him perform before?
Yep, that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Absolutely. So what else do you got there?
Oh, now I've forgotten. If I had half a memory, I'd be dangerous, I tell you. I did want to ask you
yes,
about your
ma'am.
Third book. I mean, what's going to happen to Bryce?
Well, you can't say anything for those people that haven't read the second book yet. The third book, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up because, you know, I'm rewriting, or not rewriting, but editing the first book again. So I feel like I'm back at the beginning of the story. And it's been a good exercise because what it's done is it's helped me to reconnect with that story. And, of course, I've done some radio over the last couple of weeks, and it helps me to remember those things that the Lord showed me for that beginning book. Because the things that the Lord showed me for the second book are different than the things that he showed me for the first book. But the third book, when I get to it, and it's already partly written, I just got to, you know, get down and really do it. It will talk about many of the things that I wanted to address in the first and the second book, but I couldn't get to. Because I had to build a foundation of these characters and a foundation of understanding. I hope that, you know, my readers, what happens is that as they buy into the story and they begin to see the truths, and folks, you need to understand something, that those books, I think you've already gotten, you know, kind of an inkling about this, but those books may be fiction, but they are loaded with true stuff. I mean, true stuff. I have a good friend of mine. And he called me up yesterday, and he said, "Daniel, you're killing me." And I said, "Why?" I haven't seen the guy much, right? I talked to him once in a while on the phone, but he says, "You're killing me." I said, "Why?" He said, "Because as I'm reading As the Darkness Falls," and he said, I'm going through it and I'm taking notes, and when I find something, I will go look it up on the internet or I'll go research it, and I find out that you're telling the truth. And it's supposed to be in a story. And he said, "So it's taking me forever to read your book." And I thought that was funny because, you know, people are using it like a textbook now. But the stuff that's in that second book, a lot of that stuff is already true, as you know, because you read it, you helped me edit it, as a matter of fact. But the funny thing is, in this third book will go to a place that I haven't been able to get to yet, that I've been alluding to, that I've been wanting to get to, but I haven't been able to get there. It will talk more about the Nephilim. It will talk about UFOs and the Great Deception, that sort of thing. I wanted to get there, but I had to build the foundation of all this other. If we have time. I don't know if we have time. I don't know how much longer those books will stay in print, you know. Who knows with the way things are going. Things are about, you know, to get very, very serious. And how long will Amazon stay in business? I don't know. But hopefully we can get there soon. Anyway.
Sometimes it seems so close, and then other times it seems so far away. And I think it was Doug Hagman's Insider, DHS Insider, said that the powers that be are planning for a dark spring. Now, which is kind of spooky, you know. Even when you know this stuff is coming, it's kind of creepy to see it manifest.
Well, you know, I said on that show, when I was on Hagman's show, I said that it's like the frog in the cold pot of water. And right now, we're, you know, folks, for those of you who've heard the example before, I'll give it to you again. When you put a frog in hot water, boiling hot water, it will jump out. If you put a frog, I've never done this, by the way, so don't write me up for animal cruelty. I've just heard it said. If you put a frog in a pot of cold water and then put it over the heat and turn it up, it will boil itself to death because it won't jump. We're kind of like that frog, and the water right now is beginning to warm up. It's not hot yet, but it's beginning to warm up. And why I say that is because you can see that all around us. You can see them putting things in place in order to prepare us to crank that sucker all the way up. And I think his insider's warning of a dark spring, I think that's absolutely true. I just, you know, I talked to quite a few people and did some research, and I really do believe we're looking at March and April to really begin to see some things that we never thought we would see in this country. Now, that's not the end, folks. That's just the beginning.
The beginning of the end. And to see how quickly Obama is working, and I just keep praying about the Patriots, because I know, and that's been confirmed with Augusto's dream, that this Civil War thing is a trap. The government wants the Patriots to fight back so that they can squash everybody.
That's
and
right.
I just so hope they don't take the bait. But human nature being what it is.
Well, yeah. You know, and I've said this before, human nature is, American nature, I should say. I mean, we were founded on freedoms, and when people want to take our freedoms away and they poke us in the eye while they're doing it, we take exception to that.
Yes, we do.
What I think we are about to see is something that none of us counted on, really. And that's all I'm going to say about that. We just got to be prepared for the unexpected.
I know a lot of people on the news were saying that when we had this snowstorm up here in Connecticut that we had declared martial law, which just annoyed me, because when martial law is declared, you will know it. it is not just closing the roads so that they can be plowed. It will be full-scale martial law, and it just, yeah, we had some snow, and we had our fair share of idiots clogging up the roads thinking their little four-wheelers could drive through 2 feet of snow, you know?
I saw some pictures.
And then they left their cars there on the highway, so what are the guys supposed to do? They have to plow the roads, so get out of the way, get off the roads.
I saw some pictures of that snowstorm, and, you know, I used to live up in Montana, so I know what snow is. But you guys don't really know that kind of snow, and that was pretty amazing to see.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that kind of snow in a long time. So,
well, they said that snow was...
I have a 4-foot drift in my yard.
You still have one?
Yes. Well, it hasn't been warm enough to really melt.
But it's not snowing anymore, is it?
No.
Well, I don't want to tell you what the temperature's out today. It might depress you.
Well, at least we don't have earthquakes.
Well, everybody needs a little of excitement now and again. Earthquakes aren't so bad so long as they don't hurt you.
I'll never forget when I was living in San Diego for 2 years. And I was sitting in my living room, and all of a sudden, all my hanging plants started swinging by themselves.
Yeah, they will. They will catch you unexpected, though. That's the whole thing. You gotta
be.
Yeah,
it's a very discomforting feeling to have the earth move under your feet. I mean, I don't care what the song says.
Yeah, well, it really does. And yet, I'm very grateful that we have it. At least in Southern California, we haven't had a really significant one in a long time. But when you look at, you know, when I was on a show with Stan Dale a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about all the earth changes going on and the earthquakes. In fact, I talked to him the day after he predicted that earthquake that was that huge one, the 8. I asked him, you know, he said that he couldn't tell what size it was going to be, but he knew it was going to be significant by the readings. And then we began to talk about what the Earth was doing. And Stan seems to think that, and I think there is some justification for this thought, that the Earth's crust is expanding. And as it's done in you know, millennia past, but what he thinks is happening is that as the Earth's crust is expanding, it's causing these sinkholes to open up, and there are tons of them all over the place. I saw this amazing footage a couple weeks ago, last week, these big old huge buildings in China falling into the sinkhole, just open up underneath it. There are videos like that all around, that there are sinkholes opening up. We have our own sinkhole in Louisiana down there that could be a terrible catastrophe, but you have sinkholes opening up all over the world. You also have, at the same time, not so much now, but you heard these crazy noises all over the world about a year ago, and Stan seems to think that those could potentially be skyquakes, where the Earth is moving, and you're hearing that effect in the sky, and then of course we have on top of all of that, you have the earthquakes. I counted; they were like 7 over 6, you know, last week or something like that alone. It's crazy. Plus, we've had some really big ones this week as well. And then on top of that, you have the volcanoes. More volcanoes active right now, Dorothy, than there ever has been in modern history, which is...
And there's a new one forming out in the Pacific, I saw it last week.
Yeah, and they're calling that one a super volcano, which is just crazy. So, and then we also talked about the super volcanoes, Yellowstone and El Hierro, in the Canary Islands. But you have the Earth going crazy. It's rebelling. Remember, the word says that the earth will stumble like a drunkard, right? And a lot of people have speculated, what does that mean? Is that a pole shift? Well, it could very well be a pole shift. We also talked about how there's a direct connection between the earth and the sun magnetically or electronically, magnoelectronic, electromagnetics, I should say. But the sun, okay, so the magnetosphere on the earth, it's documented as being significantly low, and it's diminishing even as we speak. It's getting weaker and weaker and weaker as we speak. The sun is at the end of its 11-year cycle. What happens at the end of its cycle, it flips poles. What Stan said because of our diminished magnetosphere, the sun could force the earth to flip its poles. Now, folks, if that happened, it would be dramatic, it would be quick, and it would be deadly because it's going to be violent if that happens. And he seems to think that there's indications now, there's evidence now that could very well be what's happening. So I don't know.
I wonder if that's one of the ways Father is going to pour out his wrath, because I don't see anyone surviving something like that. So I wonder if that's something that's going to happen at the seventh Trump or during the seventh Trump.
Well, at least the start of it, the sixth Trump. So when's the sixth Trump? Your guess is as good as mine. I don't know. We're going to have to deal with something. That's my whole point. Because, excuse me, I've said for a long time that I don't believe, and this will get me in trouble, it always does, but I'm just going to say it. I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. First of all, I don't believe in the word. I don't believe in the word rapture. It's not in the Bible. It comes from a Latin word, right? But it's not biblical. The word is harpazo, and from what I see, that happens during the seventh Trump, just before the seventh Trump. It happens before
when he comes back.
Yeah. When he comes back. So that means, and it's very unpopular for people that have already packed their bags, but what it means is we're going to have to go through some stuff. And that's my mantra. That is why we are talking about those things that we are talking about, because it really doesn't matter if you agree with me. What matters is that you're ready if I'm right. That's what matters. Because I want to be wrong. Oh, I want to be so wrong. But if we end up having to go through these things, there's so much that's going to be heaped onto the believer. They're going to be ill prepared for that because they thought they were going to escape. So.
And I think that alone would cause some to turn away from God.
Absolutely.
But he also promises us we are not appointed to his wrath. So if we're in tune with him, if our relationship is up to par, he will tell us, here, step over here. There's a big fireball coming down to hit that spot. So you've got to move over here, you know?
Well, that's,
really
that's
just
true.
He's going to communicate
that's true,
like that.
That's true, but it's a matter of semantics, okay? What is his wrath? See, his wrath is not the things that are leading up to the sixth trumpet. His wrath are those things that happen after the sixth trumpet, after the day of the Lord. See,
true.
I've said that all these things are, I've studied this for a while, and I get the feeling they're like stacked up. So they're going to happen like bam, 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 one thing after another. But that, you know, when he's had enough and he's fed up and he comes back to lay out his wrath, that's when we will, we won't be appointed to it, and that's when we'll be caught up in the air with him. But the stuff leading up to that, it's just, it's a warm-up time. It's not, that is not what I would call his wrath.
No, and there will be some martyred during that time. The word tells us that. And if it's our time to go, our battle is over, you know, at least from this side.
Well, you know, there was a book that came out in the 80s or the 70s. I never read the book, but I remember the name of it. It was called Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, but Nobody Wants to Die.
Exactly.
And, you know, the word says that to live is Christ, to die is gain. And so in the end, you know, I have a very good friend, a very good friend of the family, and he's been battling cancer, and I heard today that he doesn't have long. And he loves the Lord. And his wife said to me that, you know, he will get the ultimate healing. And we say this, you know, when we're faced with death. And what else are we going to say? But it is true in that, you know, when we are Christ, then our physical bodies, you know, are nothing compared to the relationship that that we have with Him now and also after we're dead. The point being that so many of us hang on to those things here, and we're so scared and nervous of those things that affect us here that we forget about the totality of God's infiniteness. This truly is, and I hate to sound so super spiritual, but this life is only, it's a vapor, it's a mist, it's very short in comparison to eternity. And that's not to say that, you know, we don't want to speed things along, you know, but the fact is that when we are facing these things that are coming, that even, you know, if something should happen to us, then if we are walking with Christ, we can face those things with peace. That's my first point, that we don't have to go into that time scared. And my second point is that at the other end of that, when it's done, if something should happen to us, then we are perfectly fine, because we are actually in a place that's more real than this. And I've given some thought to this a lot. You know, this physical 3D world, this physical body that we have, there are lots of things in this existence that people enjoy and they gravitate to. And I think there's something important about that, because that's what the word says that the angels left their first estate for. If you recall, they were spiritual beings, and they, in Genesis 6, came down to mate with the physical beings of women. Right? That's not me. That's the Bible, folks. So it makes me think, and, you know, Jesus also said that men and women won't be married or given in marriage in heaven. So it makes me think that there's something to this physical world that is different than the life or the existence that we have after this physical world. But the fact is that I've also heard it said for people, and you know, I'm sure you've heard this as well, Dorothy, that you've heard near-death experiences and that sort of thing. They will tell you that colors are brighter, that sounds are sharper, that that there is joy in God's presence like they've never had before. So there is a reality to life after this life that I think, because we are so afraid of that divide, that crossing over, I think we fight it and we resist it. And I think that's part of the problem with many of our walks, because, you see, we don't live like we're a citizen in that dimension now. We live like we're a citizen in this dimension. But the reality is that we were created from there, and we're only visiting here. It's not our home.
I started recently to view death as long as we die in Christ, as our ultimate victory.
It is our victory, and that's what Paul said. Oh, death, where's your sting? It is our victory. And then, again, folks, you know, this is turned morbid. The whole point of this is, right, that we don't need to walk into those times that are coming fearful. In fact, we're called not to fear that. We are going to see some powerful works of God during that time. And we need to be able to walk with the power of God in these physical bodies during that time. And you're going to see the Holy Spirit fall like you've not seen. You're going to, in spite of all the persecution that I'm sure will go on, in spite of the falling away of many of the original faithful, you're going to see people come to know the Lord. You're going to see people healed. You're going to see miracles happen because they have to happen. They have to happen because we won't have anything else. And God, the way God works, is that when we are totally dependent on Him, He shows up because He loves us. I always say that, you know, when Peter walked in the gate to the city, and he saw the man begging for alms, and he said, you know, alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, stand up and walk." And the guy gets up and he walks away. Now, I'm absolutely convinced if Peter had a shekel in his pocket, a couple pieces of silver, he would have gave him some, and he would have walked away. And that man would have still been crippled. So God shows up when we need Him to show up. And that's why I can say with full confidence that we are getting ready to see God show up in a big way. It doesn't mean some bad things are going to happen, because they are. Some bad stuff's going to happen. We're about ready to see it. But at the same time, you're going to see the grace of God, the mercy of God, the power of God fall like you've never seen before. It is going to be an anointed, a powerful time. But it's not for people that are playing church, Dorothy. And I can only stress that again. We need
you
to get to
the... You have to have that relationship. You have to know Him. He has to know you. It has to be an intimate relationship for that to go on. And it's going to be Him working through us at that time. That will be our testimony to show others that He is what He says He is.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. So in that respect, I guess we can look forward to those things. Because, you know, and the Word says that. You know, when Christ said, when you see all these things, look up, for your redemption is near. It means that He's getting close. And in spite of, you know, those things that we've talked about briefly over this show, we are going to see Jesus. We are going to see Him with our own eyes. That's what the Word promised. And that is a very, very good thing. A very good thing. You know, what I wanted to do, Dorothy, if I may, I wanted to give out my website again. The website is www.danielholdings.net. The two books that I've written are 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast and As the Darkness Falls. 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast is not published right now. It is out of publication. I'm coming out with the second edition by the end of the month. But if you go to my website, you can buy an advanced copy of that, a pre-ordered copy of that, and you'll be delivered when it comes out published at the end of the month. But you can buy it for a 30% discount, so feel free to do that. As the Darkness Falls is available on my website and also on Amazon as well. And I encourage
you. And there is a Kindle version, correct?
Yeah, it's on Kindle as well. It's both paper and Kindle. But I encourage the listeners to do that because those, you know, the Lord gave me those books to make the truths that I've just talked about and that we talk about on a regular basis palatable and entertaining. So many times, the only way that you get, information is you got to pour over. Excuse me. You have to pour over news articles and news and read videos and I've done all that stuff for you. I put it in this entertaining book form so that you're able to digest that stuff, still get something out of it, and be entertained as well. So you can, maybe it'll help you sleep at night. But you've read the books. Hopefully, you know, it achieved that goal.
And the characters are awesome. I love the characters. They're very well-rounded, and it's, I don't know if the word fun is correct, but to watch them react to what they're learning is awesome. It's more than entertaining.
Huh.
And
well,
we need a new word between fiction and nonfiction books, because
you know,
I don't believe they're fiction, you know.
Doug Hagman coined it. I was looking for a new word, and he coined it when I was on the show with him last week. He called it faction. So,
there you go, faction.
So faction. So that's interesting. But
that was an awesome interview, by the way. Anybody who wants to catch that, I believe it was it last Thursday's show?
I think it was Thursday's show. I was very honored to be on there. Those guys taught me so much, and to be able to chat with them about the things that are happening.
They are just such awesome guys. I mean, you can hear their heart when they broadcast.
Yeah, they are. They are. You know, it's just a testament to the time that we're in. You know, they are of the same mind as so many of us are. It's time to stop messing around. It's not about... We need truth, we need direction, we need reality, and because of the things that are coming, you know, we need to make sure that we know exactly what's going on. And those guys are great. They've been in trenches for years, you know, doing that very same thing.
That they're investigators and can vet these stories, because a lot of us just plain don't have that knowledge to vet. Is this a bunch of nonsense, or is this true, you know, and they vet that stuff for you. So that's another good thing about them. I just love those guys so much. They're just so great. I can't say enough good about them.
Yeah, no,
they're doing such a service for Father. They really are.
Yeah. You're on competition with them tomorrow night, though, because you have Augusto Perez and Larry Taylor on a show tomorrow night, do you not?
Yes, I do.
And
Augusto is going to be telling us what to expect, what's coming around the corner.
Well, you know, Augusto, I guess he just got back from Cuba, and he's had some more insight as to what is coming. So that'll be a very, very interesting time that you guys have. And then, of course, I don't know when that – there's an interview coming up with the Hagmans and Steve Quayle and Tom Horn and Chris Putnam. That's going to be an interesting show as well. They're talking about
Are they talking about the Pope thing?
The Pope thing and how everything is affected by that. Dorothy, that's what I'm saying. It's like all of this stuff is coming down all at the same time. It's just it amazes me. I mean, I couldn't have written it like this. It just and you know I do that kind of thing all the time. But this is reality. This is not fiction. This is reality. So it's pretty amazing seeing where we're at right now.
Which tells us, if it's out there as much as it is, that it should be manifesting quite soon.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, and I think that I think it's already manifesting. I really do. Just because we don't see it. We are seeing parts of it. We are seeing, you know, how can I put this? Excuse me. When there is an explosion, a big explosion, oftentimes what you won't see any of the fire. You won't see any smoke. What you'll feel is, well, first of all, when there's an explosion, the sound reaches you before any physical evidence of that explosion happens. And then what you'll see is wind. There's wind that's generated, or a concussion that's generated from that explosion. And then you feel the physical effects of that explosion. So what I think we are seeing right now is we're hearing the sound of that explosion, about what's about to happen, And soon we will begin to feel some of the physical effects, but we won't see the big part of that and until, well, soon after we see the beginning part of it. But the point is that it's going to begin to overtake us, or try to overtake us, before we know, you know, what's going on. And that's why it's so important, audience, to be walking close with the Lord, because this is as real as it gets. This is not theory. You know, I had a guy, he was very kind. I was when I was on that show last week, he wrote me back, and he wanted to take me up with some of my theology on the Trinity. And, you know, so I explained to him why I thought the way I thought and how I used to think like he did. And I said, but none of that really matters, because I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. This isn't a time for theology. It's not a time for talk. Right now, talk is cheap. This is a time to make sure that we are repenting, that we are on our face before God, and that we are listening, because this is as real as it's going to get. It's not time for theory. It's time for action. And audience, that's really the way I feel, that it's not time for theory. It's time for action. This is a time.
Time to walk the walk.
Yeah, we have to. Because it is literally, Dorothy, a matter of life and death. If we do not, we could very well die. And I'm not trying to scare you, audience. It is the simple truth. If we are not walking with Jesus, we will not know where to go, what to do, and how to save our families, how to stay safe. We need to hear him. We need to hear his voice. So it's so important that that we are walking that walk. So I see here that we have about 2 minutes left.
Yeah, I see that. Gosh, time goes so fast when I'm speaking with you.
Well, it's so good to talk to you, too, and I appreciate Roz for having me on the show. You know, she's I've been on shows with her in the background before, and, she's said a few things, but I've never had the opportunity to chat with her like that before, and so it's such a pleasure to have her with us. So, and it's always a pleasure to be speaking with you, Dorothy. We don't do it often enough, but with your permission, what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for the listeners, if that's okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Father, we thank you, Lord God, and we praise you that you are our Abba Father, our Daddy God, but Lord, that you are also Yahweh, the creator of the universe. Lord, that you sent your Son, Yeshua, Lord, to be our Savior. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you that in spite of the things that are coming upon this earth, they do not take you by surprise. And you are not fearful of anything. You hold us in your hand and you know us well. So, Lord God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you give this audience peace, that you give them direction, Lord God, that they would know your voice, that you would, by your Spirit, draw them to you, Lord, that you would help us to walk in that way that you want us to walk. Father, I thank you and I praise you for Dorothy and Roz, and I ask that you bless them, Lord, and for the ministry that they do. I ask that you help them to be prosperous and productive in those things that you've given them to do. God, I thank you and I praise you for the anointing that has been here on this time and the chance to share my heart. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Dorothy.
Oh, you're welcome anytime.
We'll talk soon.
I'd like to thank everybody for coming. I'd like to ask you to remember Daniel's prayer when he repented for his country's sins. And Father, bless and keep you all, and good night. Good night, Daniel.
Good night, Dorothy. Bye-bye.